Wednesday, August 12, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope that all is going well in your life. I hope that you and your family and your friends are all staying healthy right now. We are happy to have you here with us today. You know, we need to wish a very happy birthday to a really, really interesting figure in sports today, because it was back on August 12th, 1988, that British heavyweight boxer Tyson Fury was born in Manchester, England. Of course, Fury won the heavyweight title just back this last February over Deontay Wilder. But here's what's crazy. Fury was actually born 3 months premature. And at his birth, he weighed just 1 pound.
What?
Which is amazing to think about, because now Tyson Fury stands like 6'9". He usually weighs in around 260, 270 pounds when he fights. But you know, Fury won the ABA super heavyweight title back in 2008 before turning pro later that year. He was just 20 years old. And after winning the English heavyweight title not once but twice, he became the British and Commonwealth champion in 2011. Then he won the Irish and WBO intercontinental titles. And then he won the European and WBO international heavyweight titles. Now, all of that success, combined with, at the time, a 24-0 record, set up a match with the long-reigning world champion, Vladimir Klitschko. That was in Germany back in 2015. And you know, Fury surprised a number of people when he ended up beating Klitschko by unanimous decision. But then Fury was actually stripped of his IBF title just 10 days after beating Klitschko because he was unable to grant a fight with the IBF's mandatory challenger due to a rematch clause that he had actually signed in his contract with Vladimir Klitschko. And this is when things went really, really sideways for Tyson Fury, because then the rematch didn't materialize. He had been stripped of his title, and Fury began this crazy downhill spiral. He suffered from mental health issues, which led to alcoholism, recreational drug use, extreme weight gain. He was in a really, really bad place. He would eventually be charged with anti-doping violations. So in 2016, he vacated the WBA, WBO, and IBO titles, and he was actually stripped of his last remaining title in early 2018. Then later that year, after more than 2 years of fight inactivity, he's not fighting, he's not doing anything, Fury challenged for the WBC heavyweight title of the world against Deontay Wilder. Now that fight ended up being scored as a draw. Many people believe that Tyson Fury won that fight. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't one of those people. I watched that fight. I thought Wilder did enough to win the fight, but Fury's strong performance against Wilder, which did include recovering from a knockdown in the final round, did earn Tyson Fury comeback of the year from Ring Magazine and other awards. Then it was back this last February. Fury got the rematch with Wilder, knocked him down multiple times, and the fight ended up being stopped. He was declared a technical knockout winner in the 7th round. And then the third fight between Wilder and Fury was actually scheduled for this July, but it's now been postponed tentatively, possibly for October. Now, back in June, promoter Eddie Hearn announced that Fury and Anthony Joshua had agreed to a 2-fight deal, provided that Fury does win that rematch with Wilder, and provided that Joshua defeats his mandatory challenger in the meantime. I think that's all kind of iffy itself. Can Fury beat Wilder? Can Fury beat Joshua? I'll be real honest with you, I don't know. But I didn't think he could beat Wilder the last time they fought, and I was dead wrong. Tyson Fury has been an amazing comeback story since the day he was born, when he weighed just 1 pound on this day, August 12th, back in 1988. So I don't know, maybe we shouldn't doubt the guy at all. Maybe he's capable of doing anything whatsoever. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite comeback story of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are @DailyDoseSports. And I've been telling you the past few weeks, and I've been hearing from a number of listeners. You've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you have some feedback for the show, maybe you don't agree with something that I say, feel free to reach out. I might argue right back with you, but I'd love to have the interchange. Feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say right now. Also remember, we do place a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. Make sure that you head over there, search for Daily Dose, and subscribe to The Dose over on YouTube. We just take a small snippet of the podcast with some video and put it up there on YouTube so that you can kind of see exactly what's going on. You can see, I don't know, what I'm doing or what I have on my desk that week. I had a few people ask about what's on my desk, by the way. Got a number of things if you look back there that you can see on the desk. But make sure you subscribe over on YouTube. Hey, and as long as you're doing all that online shopping that we're doing, because we're all doing it, we're all just ordering stuff we don't feel like going to the store for, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and get some Daily Dose gear that, you know, you could just wear around the house if you're not going out at all. TeePublic, they're doing a ton of sales right now. We've got a number of items over there. We've got hoodies with Daily Dose logos on them and a few to choose from. We've got t-shirts. We've got sweatshirts. We've got laptop covers, cell phone covers, a number of things over at TeePublic. We've even got social distancing masks. If yours is getting kind of bad and kind of nasty and maybe you need a new one, stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, scroll until you see our logo, and there you're going to find exactly what you need at tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we've got some breaking news coming out for you. Got a number of sports stories that are coming out just over the past week. Things are really starting to pick up. We're getting a lot of information, and a lot of things are moving around. Got some things we want to talk about. There's some very, very interesting things taking place right now in the world of sports. But, you know, this last weekend was actually supposed to be Hall of Fame weekend for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And of course, we didn't get to do that. But we are going to be taking a look at which players right now, current NFL players, are going to be going to Canton as soon as they retire. Got a number of players in the NFL that are locks for the Hall of Fame. Going to talk about who those might be. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose top five for you today. Give you a little bit of a hint. There is some NBA basketball being played in a bubble down there. And I've heard from a number of sources that NBA players are getting a little bit bored down there. We might have to discuss how they are killing some time. But first, let's jump into some news that has come out this past week. You know, it's a little interesting because with Major League Baseball coming back and the NBA now playing again and the NHL starting back up with basically what is playoff hockey, the television ratings are showing that it's none of those three that everyone's watching. It's actually the PGA that everyone is currently watching more than anything else. The PGA Championship, which had been postponed since May, took place this past weekend. I don't know if you watched any of it, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say how much I watched. It was actually pretty fun to watch. It was played at Harding Park in San Francisco. So with it being on the West Coast, we were actually getting to watch this PGA Championship into primetime TV. And while all of the talk was about the big names at the tournament, Dustin Johnson led a good portion of the weekend, but came up short again. By the way, that's his fifth second place in a major. Tiger Woods struggled, didn't do well. Brooks Koepka, he actually talked some trash to the gallery, but he couldn't really back it up when it mattered. And instead, 23-year-old American Colin Morikawa, a kid from California, closed extremely strong on Sunday. It was only his 28th start as a pro and just his second major. Now, maybe the ratings for the PGA are higher because it's summer and it's kind of, I guess, golf season. Maybe it's because it looks pretty normal. In fact, sometimes it's a little bit better because you don't have those crowds. Oh, and also, maybe it's because they're not politicizing it at all. I'm just going to lob that out there. Just a guess on my part. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the NBA playoffs, which are scheduled to start next week, and we have had some teams moving around. First, the Brooklyn Nets clinched a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference last week, and just so you know, both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving will be getting playoff money for doing little more than you or I did in the whole NBA season. Meanwhile, over in the Western Conference, things are crazy. Things are moving around every single day. And you know, the NBA can't be too happy about it, but the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williamson, yeah, they're gone. They're done. They can't make the playoffs. They've been awful in the bubble. But we do have four teams battling for that final spot over in the West. The Memphis Grizzlies, who are also playing poorly, are there. So are the Portland Trailblazers, who are using every ounce of energy that they have to try to make the playoffs, and sometimes they're still coming up short. The Phoenix Suns, who are the hottest team in the league right now. They've been great in the bubble. And the San Antonio Spurs are also holding on for dear life. But you know, the West, it looks like it's headed for a play-in series, hoping that maybe it would be between Portland and Phoenix, because that might actually be an entertaining play-in series. But there are teams in the Western Conference right now that could go from like third or fourth seed down to the seventh seed real fast. It is tight and it is crazy in the NBA in the Western Conference. You know, the NFL opt-out deadline was actually last Thursday. And I know that the players union was trying to extend that as long as they possibly could. Understand this. NFL teams have to know who's opting out and who's not. So they kind of had to speed that up. Now here's what we had. We ended up having 69 NFL players opting out of the upcoming season because of the whole pandemic thing. They didn't feel safe. Maybe they felt like they were worried about their family or they had issues at home, maybe some health issues, whatever. So they opted out. Of those 69 players, 17 of them were starters. Now, I know the spin that we are getting from the sports media world. We've been talking about it here on The Dose. It just seems like the sports media world right now is super, super negative about everything. And so the spin that we were all getting is that player after player after player was opting out. Now, I was told there would be no math on The Dose. Back when we first started this thing, like years ago, I was told there would be no math. But let me go ahead and take off my shoes and do some quick counting, because you've got 53. They might expand that roster. They may end up expanding out to, you know, 60 players or so, 30 teams. By my math, we're looking around 3% actually opted out. And I know that they got a lot of attention, that 3%. But what about the other 97% who basically opted in? Of the 69 that opted out, nearly half of them were linemen. And you do wonder, just because of the weight that they carry, if they were worried about their health. So maybe that's why they opted out. But here's something that I want you to think about. I've said this before. Of those 69 players, how many of them are ever going to come back? And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't hold anything against them. If that's what they think is best for their families, or best for just their health in general, I'm not mad at them. No one should be. If you have a job that you feel is inherently dangerous for you to be doing, nobody has to work their job. But you might not have that job anymore. No one should be mad at these guys. But hey, think about it. It's just like your job. It's no different. If you took a year off from your job right now, they just might go about trying to replace you. So these 69 players that did opt out, I mean, some of them may come back and still be able to find work. Some of them may have played their last snap in the NFL, and it's nothing personal. It's simply business. NFL teams have to move on. They've got to find their replacement. You do wonder how many of these guys have played their last snap of football. Staying in the NFL, the Washington football team, I guess their name is going to be this year. It's going to take some adjustment on my part. They cut second-year running back Darius Geis over the weekend, less than 2 hours after he was arrested on domestic charges in Virginia. Washington wasted no time getting rid of Geis. They said in a statement that they had learned of a domestic violence-related incident earlier last week, and the team alerted the NFL and then met with Geis to let him know he was excused from all team activities. And here's the problem. Geis, who's only 23, and does show some talent, like he can play a little bit, he was charged with one count of strangulation and three counts of assault and battery. He was also charged with one count of destruction of property. Now, Geis turned himself in to an adult detention center late last week, and he was later released on a $10,000 uninsured bond. But here's the thing we all have to ask. Because remember, coming out of college, when Darius Geis was coming out from LSU, his comparable player that most everyone had down was former Baltimore Raven, Ray Rice.
Are you kidding me?
That's kind of ironic now, isn't it? But here's the thing. Now, every NFL team has to ask themselves the exact same question. So, how long do we have to wait to sign a pretty talented player that apparently likes to beat up on women? Because I'm telling you right now, this isn't Ray Rice. This kid's 23 years old. He still has some years on him. Someone's going to sign him. Someone without a soul. Which makes me wonder if Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is going to make that move very, very soon. Moving over to college football. The University of Connecticut canceled their entire football season. I know, you hear Connecticut, and you're like, well, how big of a deal is that?
Man, that's just mean.
But understand this. Because a few of the people, of course, in the woke sports media right now, started praising UConn when this news came out, saying, hey, UConn's doing the right thing. They are worried about their kids. They are trying to do the best thing long-term for their kids. Understand this. This move has nothing to do with staying healthy or being afraid of any virus. It doesn't have anything to do with player safety or listening to the needs of their kids whatsoever. This has to do with money and nothing else. Because remember, Connecticut had dropped out of the American Athletic Conference because they just couldn't hang in that conference. And they became an independent. In fact, they still owe money to the AAC. But if teams end up playing just conference schedules, UConn was going to get left out in the cold anyway. They don't have anyone to play. They're an independent. But I mean, if they were, say, in the ACC or something, oh, they'd be running their kids out on the practice field as soon as they could, just like anyone else would. This was about money. This had nothing to do whatsoever with player safety. And now, just when we were starting to feel like college football might happen, remember last week, at the end of the week, conferences were releasing their schedules. Well, then the MAC canceled their football season completely. Now it looks like the Big Ten is postponing their season until the spring. The Mountain West says they won't play until the spring. And now the Pac-12 is also saying they are going to wait until the spring to try to play football. There are a lot of problems with that scenario, though. And it does sound like the Big Ten kind of seems to be at the forefront of trying to convince everyone else not to play too. But it's really interesting because a number of players, including Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence and Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, have taken to social media to say, hey, we want to play. I don't know what these guys are doing, but we all want to play. As usual, the adults seem to be screwing things up for the kids. Now, there are a few teams in these conferences. Nebraska, for one, in the Big Ten. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. They all say they might have to look outside of their conference to see if they can still play because they all still want to play football. They want to play in the fall. They don't want to wait until the spring. And I've got news for you. If teams are saying that they're going to wait until the spring, I don't think that's going to happen. They can say that all they want. What happens to March Madness? Are you just going to go head-to-head against it? Are you just going to stomp on top of those spring sports? If you can't play, other sports can't play. It's kind of getting confusing with what some of these schools are trying to do. And here's the other confusing part. Why is it that it seems to be okay for kids to come to campus and go to school and take their classes and be around other kids, but it's not okay to play sports? Doesn't that kind of seem like that's not really making all that much sense? Don't know how that works exactly. Now, I know what the argument is. I've heard the arguments. I get it. This is just too dangerous for kids. It's too dangerous to send them out there. What if something bad should happen? Except for the fact that it doesn't sound like kids are being affected by anything going on right now. In fact, kids are more likely to die of the flu or in a car accident than of this virus that is out right now. Hey, we don't cancel anything for the flu. When was the last time you heard of a major college sports game being canceled for a car accident? Doesn't really happen. But an asymptomatic virus is going to shut down collegiate sports completely? Let's be real clear about one thing, okay? This isn't about player safety. This isn't about player health. Because if you send these kids home from school, they're probably more likely to risk actually having a health problem than they would be at the school where they get the best healthcare and they get constant testing. You put kids in athletic dorms in somewhat of an academic bubble, and I actually believe they would be safer at the schools than they would be at their homes. I don't think that's what this is about, though. I actually think this is more about universities being worried about lawsuits should a kid actually have a real health issue. But doesn't there have to be a way to sidestep this litigious nonsense and let these kids play? I mean, 37 states are now having high school football, they say. I would think that college football could have come up with a plan. You've been looking at this scenario for what now? 4-5 months? And the best you can come up with when it comes time for you to step to the mic and say, here's what we're doing, the best you can do is say, we're going to pass until the spring. That's your answer. That's what's going on. Here's something else kind of crazy to think about. First year Big Ten commissioner Kevin Warren, who has now gotten his way, and the Big Ten says they're going to be waiting until spring. Kevin Warren's son plays football in the SEC down at Mississippi State. Can you imagine if Kevin Warren cancels the Big Ten football season and then his son is down there playing and he goes to SEC country to watch his own son play? Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over big. I'm sure you won't get fired anytime soon for doing that. But that is where we are at as a country right now. You know, the biggest thing I've noticed throughout this pandemic, forget all the cancellations, forget all the shutdowns, forget all that stuff. You know what I've noticed during this pandemic? I've noticed the lack of leadership that we have in this country. And it's funny because we all thought, well, it's the president. It's not even that. It's not even that high up. I understand that as well, but it's at the federal level. It's at the state level. It's at the city level. It's at the town level. It's even at like the sports commissioner level. That's how bad it's gotten. That's what's actually affecting each of us every single day. Our founding fathers, when they founded this country, and we may have issues with the way they did things or what they were doing at the time, I understand all that. But when they founded this country, their biggest fear, as they wrote all the documents, as they wrote like the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, their biggest fear was that like a ruthless dictator would come in and try to take over. But you know what our founding fathers never thought would be a threat to our country? Stupidity. They never thought, okay, but what if idiots are in positions of control? Well, that's what we now have, kids. We have idiots running the country. We're going to open up universities. We're going to let you come in because we know that's where most of our money comes from. Oh, but sports, that's too dangerous. Yeah, that's the mentality we have going in this country right now. Okay, coming back. So if I were to ask you right now, which NFL players are truly locks for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, how many players would you come up with? When we come back, we're going to compare our list because I think we've got a pretty decent number here. We're going to be discussing the players that are sure things for the Pro Football Hall of Fame when we get back. So here on The Dose, we haven't talked a whole lot about the list of things that have gotten canceled throughout this pandemic. Honestly, it's just way, way, way too depressing. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame was scheduled to induct the class of 2020 this past weekend. Of course, we know that didn't happen. That got called off. They are postponing it until next year. But here's the thing to keep in mind. It's a pretty impressive class going in. They actually expanded the number of players that can go in, and we've got a lot of players that are heading in eventually next year. Now they're going to have to double up because they're going to have even more players go in the 2021 season. But right now, here is the class that is scheduled to go in as the class of 2020 of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And like I said, it's a really, really good class. Denver Broncos hard-hitting safety Steve Atwater is in the class. St. Louis Rams wide receiver Isaac Bruce. Seattle Seahawks and Minnesota Vikings offensive lineman Steve Hutchinson is going in. Indianapolis Colts running back Edgerrin James will be inducted. Pittsburgh Steelers safety Troy Polamalu will be in. Steelers coach Bill Cowher. Dallas Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson. And then we had some senior inductees, which include Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Harold Carmichael, Chicago Bears offensive lineman Jim Covert, Green Bay Packers safety Bobby Dillon, Dallas Cowboys safety Cliff Harris, New York Jets offensive lineman Winston Hill, Detroit Lions defensive lineman Alex Karras, we talked about him a few weeks ago on The Dose, Steelers safety Donnie Shell, some really, really good safeties going in this year, wow, Chicago Cardinals offensive lineman Duke Slater, Cleveland Browns end Max Speedy, Chicago Bears two-way player Ed Sprinkle, and then we had three contributors to the game. We got NFL Films co-founder Steve Sable, former NFL commissioner Paul Tagliabue, and then New York Giants general manager George Young. Those are the members that are on hold until next year. They will get inducted in 21, but they are the class of 2020. And it would have been a monster class. You could hear that just now. There's a number of members going in. Now, here's the thing. We know the speeches would have been way, way, way too long. Like, it seems like every year at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, those speeches are getting worse and worse. They're just going forever. I can't even watch the induction ceremony. I kind of see who's in it. Maybe watch the highlights here or there. But those speeches just go on way, way, way too long. You need like the 2 minute and they start playing music to usher those guys off the side of the stage. You can't just have them go up there and get a talk and just do like a full sermon for an hour and a half. That's way, way, way too much. So from that perspective, believe me, I'm not that sad that this isn't going to happen. But with the Hall of Fame passing this last weekend, we started thinking about, you know, which NFL players right now in the league are going to the Hall of Fame. Now, here's the thing I want to specify before we start. I'm not talking about maybe guys all that much. We have a few maybes. We have a few, as long as they continue on the current arch that they're on, they're going to get in. We have a couple of those. But I don't want to talk about like, hey, if Kyler Murray plays another 10 to 15 years, oh, come on, he has 1 year. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to speculate on too many players if they keep doing it. I'm just going to look at guys and say, okay, statistically, this person's probably getting in. This person we know for sure is getting in. But I don't want a whole lot of guessing. I don't want a whole lot of, well, it's 50-50. There's too many of those players. I just want to look at players that are primarily going to be locks for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like I said, we've got maybe four or five that are close. They're probably getting in. After that, we've got all locks. Let's take a look at current NFL players that are locks for the Hall of Fame. And I'm going to start in the AFC East. And where else could I start but with the team in the AFC East that keeps winning title after title after title every single year, except for the fact that most of their Hall of Fame locks are no longer on the roster. But we do have one player that is a definite, well, he's a definite maybe. I'm not exactly sure if this player is a Hall of Fame guy or not, but I think he's close. It's going to depend on what he does. And I know I didn't want to speculate much, but is newly acquired quarterback Cam Newton a Hall of Famer? I mean, here's the thing. Cam has a league MVP award. That's huge. Usually, if you are a quarterback and you have won an MVP, you usually get in. Cam absolutely can be a Hall of Famer if he does anything whatsoever with the New England Patriots. If he doesn't, if this is just a move, he can't ever replace the starter, he ends up maybe sitting the bench or even getting cut, then I think his Hall of Fame chances get cut as well. But Cam Newton has a chance. If he does anything with the Patriots, he could easily get in the Hall of Fame. Here's the question that I do have, kind of a side note. Is there any player in the league with more on the line this coming season than Cam Newton? Because if there is, I don't know who it is. Cam Newton has a ton of things out there for his entire career that would kind of, you know, sum everything up if he does anything with the New England Patriots, but he's a definite maybe right now. We'll see what Cam does. Next up are the New York Jets. And I know you're probably wondering, who in the world did the New York Jets have that could possibly be worthy of the Hall of Fame? Well, again, I hate to start off with two maybes. Cam Newton's a maybe. I've got another maybe. But this guy is a maybe here too. You might not have realized that he was even with the Jets. But here's the thing. Look at his stats. He's third in career rushing yards. He has over 15,000 rushing yards. Here's the problem for running back Frank Gore. He's never made the NFL first team all-pro list. And when you think about Frank Gore, was there ever a season that you could really say, hey, that 1 year, he was probably the best running back in the league? No, not even close. But voters someday, and it might be down the road, might see his numbers and his numbers only and say, you know, Frank Gore put up some huge numbers. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, look at him. He's probably just going to be behind Emmitt Smith and maybe Walter Payton. He's already ahead of Barry Sanders and Jim Brown, and they're just going to vote him in based on those numbers alone. You can't say they don't do that because we've seen them do those things before. I mean, You remember a guy named Curtis Martin, right? I don't know if he was ever the best back in the league. And guess where Curtis Martin is? Yeah, he's in Canton. So I could easily see Frank Gore going. I'm going to skip a few teams. I'm going to move over to the AFC North. If I didn't bring up a team, just know, I don't think they have anyone on their current roster that is worthy of the Hall of Fame. Not right now. Maybe someday, not right now. So we skip forward to the AFC North and we go to the Baltimore Ravens. And this guy actually nearly lost his life this offseason because Baltimore Ravens safety Earl Thomas was caught by his wife with a few skanks and his, wait for it, brother.
You are disgusting.
His wife ended up putting a gun to his head. She had to be convinced not to pull the trigger. Well, here is some good news for Mrs. Earl Thomas or whatever. Maybe you'll be the first one he thanks in his Hall of Fame speech, because here's the thing about Earl Thomas. He does have the qualifications to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Remember, Earl was named the first team All-Pro team 3 different times when he was playing in Seattle, and he did win a Super Bowl and was a really, really important part of that Super Bowl. Remember, with that whole Legion of Boom up there with the Seahawks. Voters love that stuff. Yes, Earl Thomas has been injured a lot lately, but last year, he actually earned his 7th trip to the Pro Bowl. Sure, he also got slapped around by Derrick Henry in the playoffs, and it probably gave his brother some sick ideas, but I think Earl Thomas is probably going to get into Canton someday. Next up is a team that already has 18 Hall of Famers. And we have another guy that's going to go in for sure, because Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is absolutely a lock. He has 2 Super Bowls. That's huge. And sure, Ben Roethlisberger kind of played terrible in one of them, and just a little bit better than terrible in the other one. But see, voters won't remember that stuff. They'll put that stuff aside. Or they'll just ignore it and say it doesn't matter how he played. He's got the rings. Who cares how he played? Doesn't matter if against the Seattle Seahawks, he looked really, really bad. He looked nervous. It was a really bad game. The refs helped him out a lot. They don't care. They say, hey, he's got the hardware. He's got 2 Super Bowls. He's got huge stats. Ben Roethlisberger is a lock. Ignore the Super Bowl performance. Also, ignore his sexual assault accusations. Next up, we go to the AFC South, where the Houston Texans do not have a Hall of Famer in their history so far. But I think we can go ahead and start carving that bust for Texans defensive lineman J.J. Watt. Yes, here's another guy who has missed a ton of time with injuries. But man, has he produced when he is actually on the field. Do you realize that J.J. Watt is a 3-time defensive player of the year? Here's the thing that's so important about that. There's only one other guy that was a 3-time defensive player of the year. His name was Lawrence Taylor. Hey, you win defensive player of the year twice, you're in. No question. It's happened every time. You win it 3 times, like J.J. Watt has, along with LT? No, you're a lock. No questions asked. J.J. Watt is going to Canton. I've got another maybe for you. And this is a tougher one for me because I'm not sure how I would vote. Staying in the AFC South, we move to the Indianapolis Colts. And if I'm being 100% honest, like I said, I don't know how I would vote for this guy, because he has thrown for nearly 60,000 yards. That's a ton. He's thrown nearly 400 touchdowns in his career. There are guys in the Hall of Fame with way less stats than that. But longtime San Diego and then Los Angeles Charger quarterback, now with the Indianapolis Colts, Philip Rivers, he has a ton of stats. Here's the problem for Philip. He has won just barely more than he has lost as a starter. That's not great. Here's another knock. He's just 5-6 in the playoffs. Now, when you see that playoff record, which is the worst part? The only 5 wins, the more losses than wins, or the fact that you only played in 11 playoff games in your entire career? Does Philip Rivers get in? If it was up to me right now, August 2020, I would say no. But voters might be more kind when they look at his stats. And don't forget, Philip is joining a very, very good Indianapolis Colts team. Maybe he does something with Indy that puts him clearly over the top. Or maybe voters just say, well, he never had a whole lot of help, even though he has actually had quite a bit of help. And they just overlook it and they just go ahead and put him in. Like I said, right now, I would probably lean towards no, but I know for a fact there are a number of voters that would lean toward yes and Philip Rivers would get in. I just wouldn't be one of those guys. Another guy that is going to get in and is also on the defensive side of the ball as we move to the AFC West, he actually plays here in my hometown of Denver, Colorado. And he's actually enjoyed chasing Philip Rivers around for a number of years. But Denver Broncos linebacker Von Miller, yeah, he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When you look at his resume, Von has all the measurables. Von has been named to the first team All-Pro team 3 different times. And don't forget he has that other little item. You know, that Super Bowl MVP back in Super Bowl 50. Hey, even if Von slows down from here on out, Von's going to the Hall of Fame. Because we all remember on the biggest stage, Super Bowl 50, he had 2 strip sacks. He basically turned the entire game for the Broncos when they beat the Carolina Panthers. That's huge. Plus, he has all the Pro Bowls. Von Miller will be going to Canton. It is just a matter of time. Okay, I've got the biggest maybe of all the maybes that we have on the list. And I tried not to have very many. I swear to you, I did. But I have another big one for you. And it's really, really, really early. We're going to stay in the AFC West. But here's the thing. When I look at it statistically, I have to say this guy is probably getting in, even though it is way too early to say he's a Hall of Famer. But here's the thing. In the history of the NFL, if you are a league MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in the same season, you usually get in. Only 10 players have won the Super Bowl and been named the league MVP in the same year. Here's who we have. Green Bay Packers quarterback Bart Starr. Yeah, he's in. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw. Also in. Here's one that's going to make your head hurt. At the time, Washington Redskins kicker Mark Moseley.
Who?
I'm going to struggle with that, but we're going to move forward. New York Giants linebacker Lawrence Taylor. San Francisco 49ers quarterback Joe Montana. Dallas Cowboys running back Emmitt Smith. San Francisco 49ers quarterback Steve Young. Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre. Denver Broncos running back Terrell Davis. And Los Angeles Rams quarterback Kurt Warner. Now let's go back to the part that hurt my brain. Yes, I did say kicker Mark Moseley.
Who?
Was named the league MVP. Just think about that for 1 second. Think about the fact that the idiot writers back in 1982 named a kicker the MVP of the National Football League that whole season, honestly. I know everyone's talking about the asterisk that's going to go next to whatever season happens, you know, this year with all the pandemic stuff. That 82 season in the NFL, that should have a huge asterisk next to it. And Mark Moseley,
who?
A kicker should never be named the MVP of anything, ever. I don't care if you beat another team 21-0 on 7 field goals. A kicker is never the MVP because you know what? You only played like 7 plays the entire game. So I don't care what you did. And by the way, this is yet another example of how we shouldn't be surprised by the media saying stupid things right now. Because they've been doing stupid things for years and years and years. Anyways, aside from kicker Mark Moseley,
who?
Those other 9 guys are already in the Hall of Fame. And so we get back to our subject. Unless he goes down very, very soon with like a career-ending injury, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. Just based on what history tells us, if you are a league MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in the same season, you're getting in. Odds are Patrick Mahomes is going to get in. He's a maybe, but the odds are definitely in his favor, even though it is very, very early. And I understand that. It's a maybe, but he's got a lot of things on his side. Staying in the AFC West, we've got another guy, and this is a guy that is switching teams. And I just saw him the other day in his new uniform, and it's going to be super, super weird to see him in a different jersey. But longtime Dallas Cowboys tight end Jason Witten, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Now this year, he is actually going to be a Las Vegas Raider. And it looks really, really weird to see Witten, who has always just looked so crisp and clean and just like a choir boy in his Dallas Cowboys uniform, Now putting on the silver and black, it's a little bit strange to me. But here's the thing about Jason Witten. He's going to the Hall of Fame because he has 11 Pro Bowls. He has 2 first-team All-Pros. He's another guy for me that when I look at Jason Witten, I go, I don't know if he was ever the greatest tight end in the league in any season that he ever played. But here's the other thing to keep in mind. He is the second most productive tight end behind Tony Gonzalez in league history. And based on that alone, there's no question about it. Jason Witten is going to Hall of Fame. It might be a matter of time because I do think there'll be a little bit of wrestling with the fact that I don't know if he was ever the best tight end in the league ever, any season. But man, look at the career numbers that he racked up because he played forever and ever and ever. And he produced, no question about that. I just don't know that he was ever the best tight end in any particular season. Very, very good. I struggle a little bit with whether or not Jason Witten was great. Either way, I think he's going to the Hall of Fame though. Okay, coming back. We have a few more Hall of Fame locks that are playing in the NFL today. And then we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Right now, with the NBA in their bubble down in Orlando, we know those players are stuck down there. You can't have anyone come in and you can't leave. You have to stay in your little protected bubble down in Orlando. But you know those players are getting really, really bored in that bubble. You know how NBA players are. They're a little bit crazy anyways. You know those guys are getting sick of just spending day after day after day down there. So here's the question that I have for you. What is it that they're doing for fun while locked in their Orlando bubble? We've got 5 ways that we know that they're spending their time down in Orlando right now. So let's finish up with a few NFL Hall of Famers that are currently playing in the NFL, but we know it's just a matter of time before they get the call to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And next up, we are now in the NFC East. We have a guy that has bounced around to a number of teams, but there's no question. He's a lock to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame because he has been the best running back in the league in multiple seasons. Adrian Peterson ranks number 5 all-time in rushing yards. He has 3 rushing titles. He has a 2,000-yard season, and he was the league MVP back in 2012. No question, Adrian Peterson has been the best back in the league in a few different years. Now, this season, Adrian Peterson will get the distinction of playing for the team with no name because you might remember he is a member of the Washington football team. You also might think about they just cut Darius Geis. Adrian Peterson isn't going to just play this year. He might be playing a lot. And you know, he does actually somehow find a way to keep beating Father Time. Now, I'm not a betting person. I've told you that before. I don't really do the whole betting on sports thing. I'll be glad to like give you advice or tell you what I think, but I'm not a betting person. I don't do that. But when I think of Adrian Peterson going into the Hall of Fame, I would be willing to bet all the money, I don't care, that I have ever had in my life that when Peterson goes into the Hall, it probably isn't going to be in a Washington football team uniform. Imagine he's going to go in as a member of some other team. He's not going to go in as the Washington football team player. Also, I have another prediction that I'm going to make years in advance right now. If his son makes his intro speech, don't get too cute now. I'm just telling you right now, you know how Pops rolls. You say something a little too snarky, yeah, you better be looking for a right cross. I'll go ahead and call that right now as well. But no question, Adrian Peterson is going into the Hall of Fame. Let's move over to the NFC North. And you know, we talked about our next guy that I'm going to put on our list of Pro Football Hall of Fame locks. We actually talked about him quite a bit last week on the Daily Dose Top 5 because we were speculating where could he end up if at some point he does leave the Green Bay Packers. But make no mistake, Aaron Rodgers is a lock for Canton no matter what he does. If he just retires, if he just stops playing, he's going to Canton because Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. He won a Super Bowl. He was named the MVP of that Super Bowl, and he is a 2-time MVP. Yeah, Aaron.
You done messed up, Aaron!
He's going to be in on the first ballot that he is eligible. He is one of the best to ever do it. No question about that. Now, imagine this, though. Imagine if somehow Aaron Rodgers were to go to another team and somehow take them maybe two more wins or even a title. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers would be going in even quicker, and he's already going to get on the first ballot. If he did something with another team, would we have to rethink the whole greatest quarterback of all time? Aaron Rodgers is pretty spectacular. That conversation would get thrown around a lot, I have a feeling. We move on to the NFC South, and we are going on a run of sure thing quarterbacks right now. And next up is New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is another guy that the second he's eligible to go into the Hall of Fame, he's going. He's going in on the very, very first ballot. I mean, Drew Brees has set and has broken so many passing records, it won't even be close. But here's the thing that I don't even know if Drew Brees gets enough credit for. Because Drew Brees won a Super Bowl for the New Orleans Saints. Never, ever underestimate that specific line on his resume. Because I know that now we think of the Saints, hey, they're pretty respectable. They're pretty good. That isn't what the Saints were. For years, the Saints were the worst franchise in like all of pro sports, not even the NFL. Like all of pro sports, the Saints were abysmal every single year. Drew Brees made them a Super Bowl champion. You would never believe that. If you watch the Saints back in like the 70s and 80s, you would say that franchise is going to fold. They have no chance whatsoever. Brees could have retired after that Super Bowl win, and I still think he might have made the Hall of Fame just on that alone. But then he's done all these other things statistically since then. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the history of the league. Yeah, Drew Brees, he's a no-brainer, not even close. We stay in the NFC South. This is going to seem really, really weird because we reach a team that bizarrely has two Hall of Famers on it. And it's bizarre because neither of those players have ever played a single snap for that team in their career. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers somehow, still not sure how, signed sure thing quarterback Tom Brady in the offseason. And you know, I know with all the pandemic stuff, we haven't really thought specifically about football on the field just yet. And even here on The Dose, I'm kind of holding off on talking specifically about the upcoming season. But keep in mind, Tom Brady plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How weird is that? That is going to be one of the strangest things to see on a football field. Brady running out of the tunnel in Tampa as a member of the home team. Okay, I'm off my little strange rant. That's going to be so weird. But Tom Brady is such a sure thing for the Hall of Fame. Even all of the like deflation of footballs, none of that stuff is going to faze voters one single bit. And it shouldn't. There's no question. Tom Brady, most decorated quarterback in the history of the league. You can make a strong case he might be the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. Tom Brady is a lock for Canton. No question about that. But here's the thing. Brady isn't the only Buccaneer this season that's going to be going to Canton. Because somehow, Tom Brady also convinced his longtime tight end Rob Gronkowski to come join him in West Florida. Now, Gronk getting into the Hall of Fame, it's a little dicier because he did have a number of injuries. But keep this in mind with Rob Gronkowski. He has 5 first-team All-Pro appearances and all those Super Bowl wins. There were multiple seasons that Gronk wasn't just the best tight end in the league. If you had to pick one guy on one play with the game on the line to throw the football to, you're probably taking Gronk because somehow he was so dominant. You knew he would come down with the football. I'm saying Rob Gronkowski will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was just so, so dominant. I am also saying that his bust in the Hall of Fame will probably have, I don't know, like a backward hat on and a puka shell necklace and some singles in his teeth for the strippers at the bar he just left. But Rob Gronkowski, yeah, I think he's getting into the Hall of Fame. Sounds kind of weird. Seems kind of strange to say that. I think Gronk is a lock. We finish up in the NFC West, and our next sure thing for the Pro Football Hall of Fame goes to a player that has had a remarkable career, especially when you consider where he has played every snap of his career. Because honestly, the Arizona Cardinals, going back to even when they were the St. Louis Cardinals, they might be the worst team in NFL history. That might be the worst franchise ever. They are at least in the conversation. Don't forget, the Cardinals have lost more games than any team in the history of the league. So please tell me, how in the world is wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald the second most productive receiver in NFL history? I don't have a clue. I don't have any idea how he has done that. Here's the crazier thing. He really hasn't had all that much help. He hasn't had this great quarterback throwing it to him. He had a couple years of Kurt Warner and then a bunch of guys that we were like, who?
Who?
How in the world has Fitzgerald been so productive? Is Larry Fitzgerald's playoff run in 2008, when the Arizona Cardinals somehow made it to the Super Bowl, the greatest postseason from any wide receiver in NFL history? Because I'd have a hard time putting anyone else above it. What Larry Fitzgerald has done in Arizona is absolutely incredible. He has all the numbers. Larry Fitzgerald will be going to the Hall of Fame, even though he has been stuck on a really, really bad team and a really, really cheap franchise for his entire career. We move on to the Los Angeles Rams, and we have another Hall of Famer on that team because we have defensive lineman Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald is already a lock for Canton. And here's why. He has two Defensive Player of the Year awards. We already talked about this. If you win two, you're going in. Here's the other thing. He has been a first-team All-Pro for 5 straight years. Hey, Aaron Donald could probably get in right now. But the fact that he's not even 30 years old yet, Aaron Donald can just pad that resume a little bit more. Yeah, Aaron Donald is without a doubt going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is a lock. We finish out our Pro Football Hall of Fame locks with another quarterback and another quarterback in the NFC West. I'm going to put this guy as a sure thing for a few different reasons. And I'll tell you why. Because I know there's a number of people that will say, well, we're still kind of on the fence about him. Here's the thing about this guy. He's already won a Super Bowl. He was an eyelash from winning another Super Bowl. He is in the conversation for top quarterback in the entire league for the past 4 or 5 years, even though he hasn't had a ton of help either. And here's the other reason that I'm going to put Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson in Canton. He still hasn't missed a single game yet. He plays. Even injured, he plays. Hey, Russell Wilson was a guy that when he was coming out of college, everyone said, well, he's too short. He can't play in the NFL. He's too little. He won't be able to throw it over guys' heads. He won't be able to throw over those big defensive linemen. All Russell Wilson does is carve defenses up. And if you are in the last 2 minutes of a game with the game on the line, there are 2 or 3 guys that I would take with the game on the line. And Russell Wilson, without a doubt, is one of them. He has been amazing. Here's how crazy Russell Wilson has been. Not only has he been great, he has been so good that he has actually changed the way NFL scouts look at collegiate players. I actually think Drew Brees contributed to this as well, but I'm not sure if Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray get drafted where they do without Russell Wilson doing what he has done in the league. Now, I think Russell Wilson could get in already based on what he's done. But again, here's the thing. Russ isn't done. He's not finished. He's still a relatively young guy. He doesn't take big hits. He's very, very smart. And for that reason, I think Russell Wilson is a lock for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Hey, with the NFL season coming, and we're all hoping that it takes place, we're going to be watching a number of guys that are definitely going to Canton as soon as they retire. As the NFL gets closer, as we get more info, as we start to kind of ramp up for that NFL season, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we will get you ready for the NFL year as it gets here. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, the NBA players are, of course, down in that bubble in Orlando. It's kind of funny. I've actually had a few people ask me about the NBA bubble recently. Here's a thing to keep in mind. It's not an actual bubble. Like, they haven't built a bubble down there. It's just a facility that no one is allowed to enter or leave. There is constant testing and there is downtime from practices and meetings and games where you're just stuck there because you're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to like have your family come in and hang out with you. You are just stuck in basically a hotel, and then you can go to the basketball facility and then you're back to your room and that's all you can do. And these NBA players, they have to fill that time somehow. And I have actually heard from a number of different places, NBA players are trying to find ways to kill time. They're trying to find games to play or something to do in between their games and their practices and stuff. And with that in mind, we actually have the Daily Dose I-Team looking into that whole situation down there. And as usual, they've come back with some really, really interesting information. Because the Daily Dose I-Team, yes, with President Big Rob leading the way, has found the top five most popular games that NBA players are playing during their downtime down in that Orlando bubble. And it's kind of crazy to think about, but what else do you do during all that time? You're bored. You can't play games all day, every day. So the NBA players, when they're slow, when they have nothing to do, they're playing games because they're competitive guys. And the Daily Dose I-Team has found the top five games that those guys are playing down there. Let's start off with number five. Now remember, this bubble is down in Orlando, Florida. It's actually in the Walt Disney Complex. Think about that for a second. And we know sometimes NBA players, they want to break from their normal jobs, but sometimes they want to stay sharp with what they do every day. They want to stay sharp with the game that they play for a living, and they actually work at their craft. So the Daily Dose I-Team has reported that one of the games NBA players are playing while they're down there during their downtime is Pop a Shot with Walt Disney's frozen head.
That was awesome.
Hey, that's kind of a morbid thing. Here's the thing I wonder about. One, I don't know how you get that frozen head. I know it's probably down in the Disney complex somewhere. But when you shoot that head, I would think it would be hard to get like good backspin on that. I don't know how that works. But they say they're playing Pop a Shot with Disney's frozen nugget. And apparently that's one way that they can kill time. We move on to number four. Here is a game that they're playing. Here's the thing. You can't use your eyes. You have to use all your other senses. But here's the game. Without looking, name the food that you find in James Harden's beard.
That's terrible.
That's a tough one. Because you've got to depend on your other senses. Like taste, touch, smell. There are so many possibilities. You don't know what Harden's been eating. You don't know what's stuck in that huge rat trap. It could be anything. It's not a game I want to play, but that's a game that, you know, what do when you're bored? You're sitting around the hotel for like the 40th straight day. Maybe you have a day off. Maybe you don't even have a game that day. James, we're going to play again. Come on in. Let's see what you've had this week in the bubble. We move on to number three. Now, number three is a game that NBA players are playing. But I'm telling you right now, kids, this is not the game for you. It's not cool to play this game. It's a dangerous game. No one should be playing it. But sometimes, I mean, remember, these are some of the most competitive guys in the world. They are not above maybe doing something a little bit dangerous. And so the game that they play is they try to eat something where it gets stuck in their throat. And then someone else has to revive them. And they're playing a game called Heimlich, the 2016 Golden State Warriors NBA Finals choking game. Like I said, no one should be playing that game. It's a dangerous game. You could get hurt. Kids, don't do that. You stay in school. You stay off the drugs. But Heimlich, the Golden State Warriors game, it's getting played a little bit down in the NBA bubble. Those guys are crazy. I wouldn't play that game. That's a dangerous, dangerous game. We move on to number two. And we get to a game. In fact, we're going to play this game a little bit here on the Dose right now. This is a tough game. This is a game that players are playing down in the NBA bubble. It's a Who Said It game featuring some of the most insane things ever uttered out loud. The game is called Kanye or Kyrie. Now, we actually have a play-at-home version of this game. We're going to play it real quick right now on the Dose. We'll take some time. If we have to go extra, we'll do whatever we need to do. But we're going to play Kanye or Kyrie. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a quote. You tell me, did Kanye say it or did Kyrie say it? Are you ready? Here's the first one. You know, I wish they'd make a new Grease. You know, Grease, the movie or whatever? The graphics in the first one were terrible. Now, who said that? If you had to think about it. Kanye say that? I can totally see him say that. Kyrie say that. Your choice. Did you make your answer? Kyrie Irving said that. I know, it's kind of tough, right? Let's do another one. Here's the next quote. I do have an ego, and rightfully so. I think people should have an ego. Think about it. I don't offend people. I don't put anyone down. Do I name names or bring people down? That's not my thing. But I give myself big ups. God chose me. He made a path for me. I am God's vessel. Who said it? Kanye or Kyrie? It's kind of tough. You have to think about that one a little bit. Who'd you get? It was Kanye. He's the one who said he's God's vessel. One last one. Little game of Kanye or Kyrie that guys are playing down in the NBA bubble. And here's the quote. It's a short one. You're going to have to get this one quick. Are you ready? I'm one of those generational leaders. Ooh, that could go to either one of them. They're both so completely crazy. Who'd you come up with? It was Kyrie Irving again. Yes, Kanye or Kyrie, the game that will soon be sweeping the nation. Just a basket of crazy quotes that you can play at home anytime you want to. NBA players are playing in the bubble. Another way to kill time. Moving on to the number one way that NBA players are killing time down in that bubble when they have nothing else to do. And I'll tell you right now, it's an old classic. You've probably played it at home. A lot of kids play it at their birthday parties, like all over the world. They give you the item with a tack in it. You've probably played it. They put the blindfold on you, and then you have to go try to pin the item up where it is supposed to go. Yes, you know the game I'm talking about. Pin the hair on the LeBron. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be doing our best to keep you up to date with the latest happenings in the world of sports. There are so many things moving around right now. We will do our best to keep you up with it. Plus, we might have to take a look at those NBA playoffs, which will be starting up this next week. We actually have a number of things to talk about now here in sports, so make sure that you stop by and you check out The Daily Dose. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube, subscribe to our Daily Dose channel, look for our logo. I'll leave links everywhere so that you can find the correct one. Have to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to that YouTube channel and giving us positive ratings wherever it is that you listen. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I'll see you all next Wednesday.
That was awesome!